Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN, back in the saddle again on a plenty busy Monday, June 23rd. Hopefully you all are having a smooth back-to-work Monday. We've got a lot to do because it's been a minute since John and I have talked, and a lot has transpired, including the passing of maybe the greatest Memphian ever, Fred Smith. And no question, before we go anywhere today, probably should a moment of silence for maybe the, as we've said, has anyone done more for this city than the man we lost over the weekend? Obviously, FedEx founder Fred Smith. But moment of silence for a true Memphis hero. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was unexpected.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, and it came like in the midst of President Donald Trump giving the address, right, as the right after we bombed Iran. So it was like, whoa, like that's a lot for, you know, for 5 minutes, in 5 minutes. But there's no question. There's just no Memphis as we know it without Fred Smith. There's no Memphis sports as we know them without Fred Smith. There's probably no Grizzlies without Fred Smith. There's no, you know, as NIL became, you know, a sphere you had to navigate, Memphis's wading into that is probably not as seamless as it was without Fred Smith. The renovations to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium do not happen without Fred Smith. So, you know, you just really can't overstate the impact that the man has made on Memphis. And obviously, you know, the hope is that, you know, the family will continue to have 10 toes down in Memphis with FedEx because we know how important and how many people they employ. And yep, just every, you're just embedded, right? But a titanic loss for the city of Memphis over the weekend in Fred Smith. So he will certainly he will certainly be missed in this community. Man, we have so much to talk about today. We have NBA draft week.
Yep.
We have an NBA champion.
Yep.
We have NIL news for Memphis basketball.
Yep.
I don't know if I'd say news, but maybe insight from Memphis officially. Mm-hmm. That we had been waiting on.
Yep.
So we will talk about that. Am I missing anything?
KD trade.
KD got traded.
That was pretty big.
KD got traded. Yep. And there is much debate, Jason, yep, about the haul. Was it a good haul for Phoenix? Was it a bad haul for Phoenix?
I've seen it. And some people getting a little angry.
Some people getting angry.
One of the Morris twins was angry with Wendy.
Okay. So we will get into that today on the show. We came in here last week. I said I hated the ESPN mock draft for the Grizzlies last week. I love the mock draft for the Grizzlies this week. So
got a new one.
Changed it. Changed the selection. So I'm all about it. So we'll get into all that today here.
Excellent.
On the show. Got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. And then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins is going to join us. And we'll talk to him about, you know, obviously Fred Smith's legacy. He's written about it.
Yep.
You know, because Jeff frequents those circles. He's basically the Fred Smith of media. In Memphis. So
we
will talk to him about all that at 1:25. But I think the most natural place to start is that we have an NBA champion, ladies and gentlemen. It is draft week, and we're going to have plenty of time to talk about what the Grizzlies will or will not do at 16. And again, sort of how maybe that Durant trade may impact some decisions because that pick got better over the weekend. There's no doubt about that in 2026, potentially. But we have an NBA champion, and it is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They get it done in game 7. What was it, 103-91?
Yes.
Your final SGA, your finals MVP, MVP of the regular season. You know, I think the first sentence that you talk about, Jason, with this game is that Tyrese Halliburton going down changed it. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that the OKC Thunder didn't, you know, earn it. I wouldn't go that far, but yeah. Like, how do you even start to discuss that game without mentioning that scene in the first quarter, and especially what he had already been doing?
100%. I mean, what, it hit three threes, and you're going, well, wait a minute, maybe we're going to see, you know, a heroic performance here in Game 7 on a guy that possibly shouldn't be playing. You know, that's what those first three seem to indicate. Obviously, Indiana had come out on the road with a lot of energy, but when Tyrese was hitting those shots early, and there are a bunch of stats that say when he does this stuff early, yep. Indiana gets off to a roll. You start telling yourself there, man, you
100%.
Maybe this the way this script has gone, and it's gone so crazy, you thought it was over here. I thought OKC was going to put him away in Game 6. Was wrong about that. You get here, and you think, holy cow, maybe this script doesn't end with OKC winning it. Those were some of the flashing thoughts. But like you said, 7 minutes in.
Yep.
And then he's out of it. And you could see the pop.
Oh, yeah.
And it was almost, it wasn't just the NBA. It felt like the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, again, for a finals that ratings were down, right, overall, it felt like all of us were watching because we'd hit a Game 7 on a Sunday night. And we all had the same thought, how terrible this was. You know, you saw how emotional Halliburton was down on the floor. I think we all felt for him.
Oh, yeah.
Because again, even if you had picked OKC, whatever else in this series, even if you'd said, hey, they're going to win in 7, you're about to hit the nail on the head, we all felt for Halliburton. Even if you were pulling against the Pacers, you couldn't help but feel for the guy. You're going in a situation you probably shouldn't go. The thing pops.
Yep.
We all knew what it was as soon as we saw it.
No doubt.
That this was Achilles that likely wouldn't just end their chances that night, last night,
maybe
next year for the whole season.
Yeah.
We know how this happens. And my son was pointing out how all the zeros got Achilles. And I realized Dame was wearing zero in Milwaukee. Tatum's wearing zero.
Do the Grizz have a zero?
Again, random and weird, but another Achilles.
That is random.
I guess he caught that on Instagram.
Jalen Wells is a zero. Protect yourself, Jalen.
You're good with numbers because I wouldn't remember who wore zero for us.
I thought like maybe he wore zero.
He did get hurt.
I Googled that. I did have to Google it.
Point being though, you're right. It's hard to now again. Does it take away automatically from what OKC has accomplished? Probably.
But
we said it when he went down. There's going to be some what ifs,
no doubt,
and especially as you said, because of the way Halliburton was playing before he goes down, and those, you know, that 7 minutes he was.
I think like it would actually have been better for OKC and much easier to dismiss if he was like, you know, 0-5 to start, right? Like, if he had not impacted the game drastically already, we would have been able to say, yeah, it wouldn't have mattered, right? But it was, I mean, they were up 14-10. Mm-hmm. I mean, and
good energy.
Won't matter because they did what they did. But after Halliburton hit that third three, it was the most frustrated timeout I've ever seen from Dagnall. Mm-hmm. Like, he almost made the sign twice. You know, he was so disgusted by the defense. And realistically speaking, nobody on that team can spread a defense like Halliburton can. I mean, they have to guard him in a way that they don't have to guard. McConnell's coming to you, the teeth of the defense, and that's where OKC thrives, is the teeth of that defense. You know, Nesmith will make some catch-and-shoot shots, but Nembhard's the same. Like, Nembhard's not going to take the shots at Halliburton. So it just kind of took a lot of pressure off of OKC's defense when Halliburton went down, and it was crazy because you kind of saw that injury play out in – like develop in real time, because remember it started with the, oh, I got something in my leg.
Mm-hmm.
He said that like after game one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went from that to I got tightness. And then it went from tightness to the strain.
Right, calf strain.
And then it went from the strain to the Achilles pop. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's been officially announced yet, right?
No, I figure that'll come on down.
Yeah. And the key is I saw somebody talking about
it. You have the early surgery like Tatum did?
Yes.
Oh, he might already be doing it right now.
It could be. Get the surgery like today.
That's how Tatum.
And then, you know, maybe get back by March. I have no idea. I don't know.
Before the playoffs begin.
Exactly. I mean,
just, that'd be your
only chance at it.
The most ideal thing.
So, yeah, I mean, I do think that.
It affects it.
Today we will be talking about it. In 3-4 years, will we be talking about it? I don't know. I mean, I think that really probably depends on how you actually view the Thunder and probably what they do from here. You know, is this about to be the start of this ferocious dynasty with everybody under 25 and locked up and all these picks? I mean, that's ultimately like it's just kind of in the eye of the beholder. Do you think OKC is a great team, an all-time great team? You know, I don't know. I go back and forth. I think their offense at times was such a hard watch. If not for being rescued by SGA nightly. So that's where I'm kind of at. Like, defense, yes, elite, unbelievable defense. Mm-hmm. But can I put them up there as one of the best? I don't know. I'm hesitant.
Well, I think with Jalen Williams and SGA, that's a start right there on a 1-2 punch that's
and especially with where their contracts are going to be, you know, how young this team is, second youngest ever to that 76-77 Portland team that had Lionel Hollins on it, by the way, along with Bill Walton obviously leading it. But, you know, this team's in such a good spot, but particularly with those two. The things that really got ugly, John, in terms of their – and they are, you're right, in the half court, there were times where you didn't want to watch this thing. They were so bad from three the whole series. They're gonna have to fine-tune that. I mean, yep. they won this finals shooting very poorly from three. I think SGA last night was, what, 2 of 12? I mean, they were awful, but it's the other guys you can fix. And maybe you got to take away a little bit of the defense, which they were so awesome on, to go in there and you know, double down on some shooters. Now, I'm not saying, you know, necessarily that's a Lu Dort, but maybe it is. You can upgrade some of those things, take away a little bit of the defense. They're going to be able to be better offensively.
Yeah.
It's still the start of – I still feel the same way. It's the start of a dynasty. It's
yeah.
What they do defensively, nobody in the league was matching that. The physicality they bring – and maybe you have to have Lu Dort to be a part of that. Maybe you can just keep Caruso
right.
on the deal that he's on now, and he
right.
can still bring that and be the face of that. I think enough of your stars
yeah.
play good enough defense now. SGA, the steals guy he is yep. in the lanes and everything else.
Yep.
Jalen Williams as a defender.
Yeah.
You've got enough of it there that I just think it's the beginning of that. It's unfortunate that Halliburton went down. I do think we have to make room for – there's a good chance – he's playing in that game. They still lose to OKC.
The oh,
OKC
for sure.
swallows
for sure.
them up
for sure.
in the second half, and they go on to win this thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe some would argue they should have done early in the series.
Yeah.
They still, for much of this, they dominated. Ended up turning that team over in the third quarter. Credit to Indiana. Got it all the way to the half, keeping it a game.
I mean, they were
but
leading
once we
in
got,
the half.
Once we, got,
amazing.
Once we got third quarter, game yep. was over.
No doubt.
Game was over.
And you kind of could feel it.
What speech could Carlisle give to them at that point? They had fought so hard
no
already.
Doubt. No doubt.
It wasn't like that. You could still have some juice left after you'd given everything to have the lead at half.
It felt like that second quarter took an hour and a half.
To me,
you know what I mean? Because it's like these minutes are passing by like hours if you're Indiana.
To me, Daigneault had it so easy at halftime. In terms of what you're yeah. saying to them, like, what yeah. are we doing?
100%.
Do we want this or not? Do we want to start this history or not? We're down. They're out there fighting you. They're killing you. Without Hallie.
That's
and
right.
you guys are down.
That's
I mean, that's
right.
that. Come on. You didn't have to say much there to
no question.
Hopefully get the effort that you were going to get, and they did in that
yep.
third quarter. What was it? 34-20. They
yeah, that was. I mean, and they've done that so many times in the playoffs, right?
That's where they put the game on.
They come out after half, and they go on these insane runs.
And that's what they've done.
Yep.
And that's been their MO,
yep.
and you have to give them credit for that. Even
yeah.
though there's no Hallie there, that's been the way they win, and they get it done. And it does. It looks like the start of something
yeah.
San Antonio-ish, something maybe Golden State-ish.
No, I don't think I'd fight you on that at all. I mean, it's just lined up. You know, I mean, it's just like they've invested. They've made great trades. I mean, they've done the things that you have to do.
Your GM, your Presti's learned.
Right.
He's gotten close. He's missed.
Right.
He's come back now. And
yeah.
and sort of the foundation's even stronger with this group.
Absolutely.
Look at the way they're together. You're not threatening to lose anybody. Like with Harden, they didn't want to pay it as a sixth man. Let him go ahead and roll on.
Yep.
This one's intact, bro.
Absolutely.
And like you said, he's got guys that are mature beyond their years.
I mean, he's got Topic. They drafted him, you know, last year, who didn't even play.
Didn't play.
You know, I mean, so that's – and they got 14 I mean, and 25 this year.
You got
I mean,
a whole Presti up in this, too, just
oh,
the way
yeah, – yeah.
The caliber of player and how it – you know, the chemistry those guys have. Like you talked about, you know, age wasn't nothing but a number. He said that there literally in his speech. They just – they played beyond their years. They
yeah.
truly did.
There was a podcast that Henry Abbott from True Hoop went on where he talked about the fact that the Thunder have a literal dedicated department in their front office. About predicting basically the future of the NBA, like which teams are going to be bad so that we can try to start a trade talk with them and get their picks, and whether the NBA, like these are just a couple examples, will the NBA prefer athletic wings that can guard the three versus what, I mean, that, like they invest in so much forward thinking, right? Like it's not a surprise that they are sitting with the, you know, position that they're in.
I still think, and I have to say this, if they get a healthy Boston here, there's a possibility this is not starting yet, a possibility they've been pushed back to a not ready yet for they benefited some,
100%,
clearly,
bro.
From
whether
injury,
the
whatever else we're talking about here,
it's
man.
A four seed.
I mean, they put away the West. They did their job there. You got to look. Minnesota got you know, Golden State without Steph. Like injuries were part of the whole playoffs. Like Indiana too. Like everybody got some of that. But if they had gotten a healthy Boston, perhaps it's a Boston that's sort of Heisman Trophy winning them, you know, with that old stance keeping them back. But because they, you know, they caught some breaks, and you got to give, again, back to Presti, they're such a deep team, you know, they didn't sustain an injury to one of their main guys, but the way they were able to hold up through it all in a playoffs that was all about injury and sort of trying to outlast everybody, that's it's a credit to Presti. It's a credit to how their team's built, their depth, and everything else, and to the superstar they've got in SGA.
No, I think that's
he's a superstar.
That's the way to do it, man. In terms of, you know, to get to the finals and to win a chip, you have to get lucky.
Yeah.
Whether that be injury, I mean, the Pacers got a lot of injury luck, right?
They did.
On their way last year, this year, you know, I mean, so in the end, the healthier team is pretty much always the winner.
Because Cleveland was banged up.
Cleveland was 100% banged up. Milwaukee lost Lillard, you know, in that one. Yeah. And then, you know, the Knicks, they just had various, you know, Cat had the finger.
Well, and Tibbs had run him into the ground.
Exactly. You know what it is.
Didn't play guys until the very end there when he had to.
So, I mean, they benefited. They had a horseshoe stuck up their ass the entire postseason as well. So, you know, at some point, especially we knew Halliburton was probably compromised in some way. It was going to happen. We didn't wish that on him.
No.
But we knew he was playing not 100%.
But OKC has the superstar. The guy led the league in scoring.
Yep.
Was the MVP. He wins Finals MVP, wins the title.
It's the year of Shea.
Indiana didn't have, no one else had that. They had that
that's
guy,
right.
and they
right.
went on to win the title
that's
with him.
Right.
That's not changing anytime soon.
Now, how did they get Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? It's a great question.
Trade.
They traded Serge Ibaka. You got to go all the way back to 2016. They traded Serge Ibaka to the Magic for Oladipo, Ilyasova, and the draft rights to Sabonis. Wow, what a trade. I mean, are you kidding me?
Wendy pointed out how you had to get down to, like, the fourth graph, I think he said. I don't want to misquote him here, but into Woj's story about that trade before SGA's mentioned.
Yes.
Now he's headlining his way to MVP and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they get those rights to all those players. The next year they trade Oladipo and Sabonis for Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
2 years after that, they leverage Paul George into SGA.
Right.
And five first-rounders, by the way.
Well, Paul was the soil in all of this whole finals. We said
I think we should give Paul a ring.
Grew off of his back.
He deserves a ring from somebody.
Andy and all of it.
Because either team would not be here without his efforts. So I think he deserves there should be a celebration for him on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because GMs have been falling all over themselves over him for about 10 years. And, he's never actually done anything. But the teams that trade him away usually do.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable.
He's good soil.
Where is he at now? Is he in Philly? Okay,
yeah,
Philly.
He'll be back with that broken team.
That's right. He left.
Yeah, Embiid's trying to come back from injury.
Yeah.
You got McCain in it that's trying to come back from injury.
The
rookie.
Yeah. They got hurt. I have no idea what they're doing.
And then Maxey.
They use one of those five firsts that they got in that trade to draft Jalen Williams at number 12. At number 12, which is only four picks away from where the Grizzlies pick on Thursday. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I don't know if they've missed. I don't think they have missed literally in a decade.
Preston.
And Zach Kleiman had a decade worth of misses in 2022 in that draft. I mean, that's the difference here, right? I mean, that's, you know, and we haven't even talked about the market. Like, there ain't no Marcus Smart anchor trade here, bro, where you have to send out two first or three first, whatever it is, just to get off this dude. You know, that's what doesn't exist. I mean, I'm not saying that Zach Kleiman should be fired or anything like that, but I'm saying there's levels to this.
Yeah.
I mean, like the Thunder literally have gone, they're betting 1,000.
Oh, I mean, no, on this second time around.
Right.
Now.
Right. The first time.
Presti
yes.
got closer.
Yes. Yes.
But he missed.
Yes.
And they had to rebuild. Now, what he had to sort of rebuild with left him with a ton of assets. And they gave him because he reached the finals,
That's a good point.
They gave him because he'd reached the finals, that he'd built up some equity there.
Yeah,
they said, but he had, he said, I'm going to do this again, roll up my sleeves, start over. And it's the way he's hit now that he's batting 1,000.
Well, that's actually a great point, because how many GMs would have survived that long? That,
exactly. And especially with as young as he was.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it. Kleiman's the same in that we were two seed 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Now, no, it wasn't a finals appearance.
Yeah.
But you can argue, you know, got close. Thought,
no, I mean, they were two
right
seed
there,
2 years in a row.
Well, one guy's going to do it, Marcus Smart. Let's finish this off. You miss.
Yeah.
Kind of got to start over in a way. Now, I don't think you stripped it down clearly to what Presti did, and have all the assets to come back from, but you put yourself in a similar place where Kleiman's getting another run at it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's interesting. Because
mildly similar, not exactly right, similar, the but mildly similar.
But I mean, the Thunder were tanking, though.
Yes,
I mean they went from the top to the bottom,
dude.
So that's the part of it that's kind of hard to imagine a GM surviving on.
100%.
They could have just said, "Listen, you couldn't get a title out of KD, Westbrook, and James Harden,
three guys that went on to all win MVPs."
Yeah, all three MVPs. You couldn't, but instead they said, "No, we trust your process. We like what you do."
They gave him the benefit of the doubt and let him roll. They, you know, he'd built up some equity, but they believed in him.
I mean, honestly, it was not obvious.
Maybe lined up for many.
Oh, 100%.
Because they trusted him.
It was not obvious in 2019 that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was going to be this guy. It was not obvious at all.
No.
You know, like, he was like a good player, young player.
Kind of buried in the story, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like.
There was no certainty this was going to become the scoring leader in the league.
That's right.
Win the whole thing.
Did anybody think he was going to be an MVP? When that trade went down,
fourth player in NBA history to win MVP, scoring title, and title in the same season. Only four have done it, bro.
Do you have the others?
It's Shaq, it's Kareem, and it's Jordan. Jordan's the only one to do it multiple times. I think four times. But the other guys have all only done it once, and it's only four guys, bro.
Wow,
it's the triple crown.
That's amazing.
It is.
It is truly
so they you have to get. He's a true superstar, bro. To have done this, what he did in the regular season. You win the MVP, you go on to win this.
Mm.
It puts you in the most elite of company.
Yeah, no, it's the Thunder are just not missing right now. You know, look, the Grizzlies, I did check this. If you want to get down, I believe they're plus 15,000 to win the title next year. The Memphis Grizzlies are. They were plus 5,000 going into this year.
We should have been on Rockets before the KD trade. That kind of swung too, didn't it?
Yeah, I imagine what their second or third.
But we need to do something for the Grizzlies to make a move here or something.
Yeah, well, are they going to make a move? That's what I'm worried about.
You tell me. We're using that pick at 16 that you looking at all these players you like and don't
like. I only like one.
I thought we were trading it with Cole.
But I'm getting concerned. Now, again, we probably wouldn't know until draft day anyway.
They did it right before the Herb Harrington refreshed. Smart was like right before, right?
Yeah.
Day before or something.
Yeah, so... I was listening to Jeff today, and they were like, you know, what would be, I don't want them to use the pick. I want them to trade the pick.
We're still here, okay.
I thought,
even with your new mock.
Even with the new mock, yes. Okay. I mean, could I live with the new mock? I could live with it. It would be my second. Like, here's my preferred list of options. Cole Anthony, this pick, $20 million three, right? Whoever that is.
P.J. Washington.
Yeah, P.J. Washington, Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson, whoever's your guy.
A $20 million slot guy, right?
Yes.
That's the number one option. Number two option would be use it on the guy that and we'll talk about him, Cedric Coward, that ESPN currently has the Grizzlies selecting. I don't know that he'll be there, but if he is, I would take him there. Third option would be this poppycock that Calkins is talking about with the trading down along with John Conchar's salary.
To get rid of Conchar's salary.
To give Jaren the money. I mean, Calkins called it eating vegetables, eating broccoli.
But we got to do it. Eat your vegetables to pay Jaren.
Yeah, I mean that's more like eating ass, from where I sit.
Man, you got nasty over the weekend, huh?
I mean, for real, we're just gonna clear the deck to pay Jaren, who didn't make the All NBA team, and we're gonna run this back and say, here we go.
Gotcha.
Here we go. Do we have a department that focuses on the future of the NBA? Do we have that over there? We need that. If we're going to clear Conchar's salary, let's invest it in that department. Go hire the OKC people. That's what I would do with it. I wouldn't give it to Jaren.
I mean, it's tight, bro.
We got $6 million now or whatever it is he makes. I don't know. I can't remember. But I would invest in the future department. Like, isn't that like every NBA team should have that, though, right? Like, oh, he kind of framed it in a funny way, but like every NBA's team's job is to like evaluate what's going to happen in the future, isn't it? It's not about like the. I mean, I don't know. Seems like, you know, fancy language, but that's what I would do. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what they do. They got a lot of options. It feels like if Coward's there, I'm cool with it because you know the potential is there, and he was committed. I think he was going to Duke.
Mm.
So obviously he's a big time prospect. Before he lit it up at the combine.
Is he in the rotation next year if he's drafted by the Grizzlies?
I mean, I would think the idea would be, because he's 22 and he's big, so I think the idea would be that he cracks it.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you have your own pitfalls with that. It's like
a lot of young dudes.
Another 22-year-old.
But I mean, we just saw the second youngest team ever win the finals. I guess youth doesn't necessarily have to scare you.
Who's their youngest guy? Chet or no? Wallace probably.
Uh huh.
Wallace is there, and how old is he? I bet he's older than 22.
His second year, or whatever.
He's 21, but he sucked. Let's be honest; he was not good in the finals. I mean, he had moments, but
most of those guys are just young in their careers. I mean, Caruso's the only one over 30, right?
Holmgren's 23.
Yeah, I think Caruso's the only one's got any decent age on him.
But you know, I would say Shea's kind of like entering his prime, right? He's in his prime, and he met the moment.
Could be here for a minute.
But like Chet, you would say was very checkered. Like had good games, had bad games. Kayson Wallace had good games, had bad games. Like
I see you're not buying into that. This is I'm getting the sense you're not buying into necessarily. This is San Antonio and Golden State.
Oh no! I'm just saying in terms of this finals, like the young guy, like they'll be old at some point. They'll age and they'll be unstoppable.
They're all under contract.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
No,
like,
they're not going
anywhere.
Pay anywhere. No, I definitely. Right now. Yeah, no. All I'm saying is like the 22, 23 year olds, even on this team. They were carried by the 25, 26-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still don't, I don't want to have too many of those is the point.
Although you don't have too many of 25 and 26-year-olds carrying teams. Tatum and them couldn't do that.
No, you're right.
No,
that is
for a minute. They had to hit their head on it for a while.
You're exactly right. That's the sickness.
They got through. I guess OKC had to take a couple steps, but. Maybe, like I said, and maybe if they get a veteran Boston team that did this last year that's hitting its threes and, healthy, then this is different. You're holding them off, but
yeah,
no, they got there early, man.
They did. And,
they scare me.
For real quick on the Indiana side, this is probably it for them, right?
Dude, it makes just Cleveland's situation look great because now you just say, it's not just us running it back because Boston's down, Indy's down. Is that what you mean? I mean, that's
yes.
The East is... if I'm the Knicks, I'd feel almost the same way. Let's just get a coach in there and let's roll again. It's going to be us and the Cavs.
Like Indiana, I would bet never gets back here, right?
Oh, you mean ever?
Like with this iteration, I would bet that they do not. Because are they really going to catch the luck that they caught this year?
Well, that's fair.
I'll tell you whose situation I would be like a little more optimistic about in the East would be Milwaukee if they keep Giannis. If they can keep Giannis, which it seems like they'll do. Like, now is as good a time as any to say, come here, go get somebody, come with Giannis.
Let's not ask what's their flexibility.
I don't know how much they have, but man, like, there's an opening for a Giannis team to make some noise in the East this year.
That's why I don't understand why KD wouldn't want to go East.
Right, right. Yeah, stay in the West.
That's another story, we'll discuss.
But either way, we'll see how many they win here. But OKC gets its title all these years in the making, even going back to, 2007 with KD and Russ and James Harden. They finally get one, and it does. It feels like the start of many here for these Thunder. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Got NBA draft talk we'll get into as that's Thursday here. For the Memphis Grizzlies, picking number 16 as it stands. We'll get into all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
FM, ESPN. Black Tie Moving has changed and moving in the city of Memphis, because when you're moving, you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life. And they treat them as such. But they're also going to get the move done fast, right? They're going to be in and out, and you can move on with the rest of your life. It's important. I've used them twice. Glad I did. They were professionals. They stayed on the budget that we agreed on. They showed up on time. Awesome experience. Reach out and get on the schedule. 316-6196. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Moving, no matter where you're going, cross town, cross country, they're changing, moving in the city of Memphis. Kevin Durant found out he was getting traded while he was on stage at Fanatics Fest. I'm sure he was so shocked that to learn that he was being traded to Houston. I don't even know if he made a face. He kind of made a face, but we know all these guys telegraph where they want to go now, so.
He kind of let her know, too, that he did have his tentacles on it. She essentially asked him that.
Did we even...
But he still said, you know, in the end, you can't control it.
Right, right. Like, who... Did we even know of another... Like, I guess the Spurs maybe were...
The three he named.
Spurs, Miami, Houston, and Miami.
And the two Texas.
Yeah. So he knew he was going to go to one of those three teams. Huh. Amazing.
Why would Phoenix... I struggle with that the whole time.
Why they would want to give
acquiesce, whatever the word is. Why in the world would you care about what Kevin Durant wants at this point?
Right.
At the point that you are at as a franchise.
All these teams bluff, right? They always say, we don't care where we're going, you know, what he wants. We're going to do what we want.
Ishbia feel like he owes it to him because he came the first time and it was on him. Ishbia feels like the mistake was his, that they went with Beal and him and Booker. And so, as a result, it was my mistake as a rich guy. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, put you where you want to go, because I would tell you they didn't get enough.
I would tell you that as well. The old adage, the old, like, thinking of that is, if the agent has other clients that they don't want to get on the wrong side of the agent.
Because he'll do your, you know.
You know, he won't come there or whatever, but. If you give somebody the most money, they usually will go to that, especially Phoenix. Right. Who wouldn't want to be in Phoenix? It's a great locale, you know? So I don't know. I agree. Like, I believe we read, a comment from somebody, or a sourced comment from somebody that, we're not even taking into consideration what KD wants. We're going to send him the best offer. Maybe this was their best offer. And if that's the case, then damn. There was not much of a market for Kevin Durant, because all the Rockets had to do to get Kevin Durant was send out Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 pick in this draft, in 5 seconds. This is the greatest scorer, one of the greatest scorers of all time. And what they give up? They gave up Dylan Brooks, who can't score on the wing. They gave up Jalen Green, who had gotten benched in the playoffs in that first round against the Warriors at the end of the games. A number 10 pick coin flip, and then 5 seconds. So basically, the only thing that you really are going to feel if you're the Houston Rockets is that pick. And... You know, I mean, who cares? It's a number 10 pick. If they hit on it, congrats. But Kevin Durant immediately comes in and he addresses the thing that cost you against the Warriors, which is you couldn't score. You fix that now. KD's one of the best scorers of all time. I know he's 37, I know he's coming off an injury, blah, blah, blah. Bro, this is so obvious for Houston. It's like I don't even spend a second thinking about it longer. You know what I mean? Like, this was just such a no-brainer for them. It's crazy.
I was looking it up. Rich Kleiman, does that sound right? Mm-hmm. Represents KD?
That's him.
Who else he got?
I don't know if
it's
anybody.
It's just him. Yeah. They're like partners.
Right. Yep.
So in terms of like peeing off who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Who cares? And it's a unique situation where it's Kleiman and Durant. And again, I go back to, it must be Ishbia feeling somewhat guilty, because I would be looking for best deal. And I can't imagine somebody in the East, or, you know, there wasn't someone desperate. Maybe someone other than Miami, I don't know, that would have offered more. So I don't get it from the Phoenix side. I don't think you got enough. But I am curious about what this is going to do for Houston. I think they've got enough of Amen Thompson to be, in terms of their anchor of their defense, the guy that needs to – you know, you need somebody that's intense, that can set the tone there. You'd hoped and expected it to be Dylan Brooks when you signed him. It was, and he was able to hand that baton over. Thompson's their defensive leader now. And so that, you know, you don't lose much there defensively in terms of your leader guy with Amen Thompson now as the face of that, and Dylan Brooks out of there. I like it a lot for Houston.
Yeah, they are going for it. They're going for it. They said we're a 2 seed.
It's Jabari, though. I mean, I guess you kind of have to put him at the 4. I've seen some lineups.
Tari.
Yeah.
Bari or Tari.
Tari becomes Dylan. Right? Tari becomes Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that lineup works better. And KD is the 4.
Yeah.
Next to Şengün.
Yep.
Şengün.
Yep.
However pronouncing
it. I mean, KD was, I'm pretty sure KD was pretty much the 4 last year in Phoenix, too.
I think so, too. I saw some lineups where it had him at the 3 and had Jabari in there, but I like it better where Tari is replacing Dylan Brooks and we're putting KD at the 4.
Yes. 100%. 100%. Because, I mean, he's basically 7 foot. I mean,
he's still bang as old as, do we want him banging around and thin as he is?
Probably not. I mean, that's going to be it is a change of identity. They're changing their identity with KD.
Didn't have to give up much depth or anything and a bunch of second round picks.
Yes. First of all, Jalen Green was a 0 in the playoffs. I mean, he was terrible. He was terrible against the Warriors.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that he can't one day be great. He might, but I like go develop somewhere else, young man. Like, I have a chance to get Kevin Durant and Dylan Brooks. Like, however will I replace a 10-point-a-game scorer who shoots 34% from three? Wow. I mean, this is just devastating. They don't care about that, so they get off of him, get off Jalen Green's bad contract, and I know what I'm getting from KD. Like, I'm getting 26 a night. Like, he might get hurt. That's all, you know, but I can't predict that. I'm getting 26 a night if he's on the court. Easy. Easy.
Yeah, 37.
He is 37. Like, it's not a long-term thing. It's like a 1 year or two years max.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, but they honestly, obviously,
they're, like you said, they're going for it.
Yeah, they feel like they stack up pretty well against OKC. They must, because otherwise, why would you do it? You know, I mean, you just kind of, I guess, you know, you didn't have to give up much, so maybe it's a low risk maneuver anyway. And if it doesn't work, like, you still have Jabari Smith, you still have Tari Eason, you still have, I mean, you just drafted Reed Shepard last year, you know, so you got options. And I assume they have other assets as well. So
it's a, several other wild card suitors emerged, including Toronto, Cleveland, Clippers, Denver. You couldn't get a better deal right. back, a better haul back.
I find that hard to believe.
Than what you got from Houston here?
I think people just overrate, because I got some people tweeting me that Jalen Green is this young star. I mean,
That was where my son was yesterday. He's like, and I said, you really got to believe in Jalen Green.
No doubt.
If you're going to turn this into a good deal for Phoenix.
Absolutely.
All your hopes are contingent on that.
Yeah.
That Jalen Green becomes that guy in the playoffs. And I've seen it. We've seen it where guys weren't ready and they bounce back. And I'll be honest with you. I thought he took a little bit too much heat during the regular season for his inefficiency. I liked him as a young player, always have. I'm not one of those guys that's bought into Jalen Green's going to be a star. I was surprised at how many people still are. My son's one of them.
Yeah,
interestingly enough.
You know, sometimes you can kind of tell, like,
you better believe it.
CJ probably wasn't locked into that Warrior series. You know, he wasn't seeing that Jalen Green got benched at the end of the game. Like, he puts up numbers, but it's the only time it matters is in the playoffs. That's really when you learn who is this guy. Is he a performer or is he an 82-game guy? You know, you want 100-game guys. You don't want the 82-game guys. And I think the Rockets determine.
It says that they were willing to do it. It says everything
game
you need to know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I you know, and look, maybe you don't get 100 out of KD. Maybe he's a 67-game guy because of injury. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, it better be the right games he's playing.
Exactly right. I mean, you're literally pairing KD with Ime Udoka, you know, good defensive identity. I love it. I love it for them. They're going to have to change where they play a little bit because KD's not the defender. You know, what you give up in defense, you're gaining exponentially in offense.
Yeah, and Tari can be
100%. I'm a big Tari guy.
Effective.
I mean, I'm excited.
Defensively,
they didn't want to give him up for a reason. They know what they have in him. Mm. You know, so I think it's a great deal for the Houston. I don't know, like, can they? Would I take them in a 7-game series over Oklahoma City? Probably not. But it's a thought. You know, I mean, I think that's what they're going for. They're gonna hope they're trying to be the 2 seed again. And you know, I guess they look out and they're like, all right, you know, Denver, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, what's Denver going to do? What's the Clippers going to do? What's Golden State going to do? They see an opportunity to be a top 2 team in the West.
Folks still got Reed.
They got Reed, man. I don't know what the plan is with him.
Jabari, I'm out on, but.
I hear you.
Some people are like, they didn't have to give up Jabari Smith Jr.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him.
I like Tari way better than Jabari.
Me too.
He doesn't have the shot, but I think he just brings everything else.
I'd rather go small, have KD at the 4.
Yeah.
I'd say small, have Tari in there.
Exactly.
Not going KD at the 3.
It's crazy because Jabari was a number 3 pick, right? He's 2.
2.
He was number 2.
That was your thing.
And Woj reported he was number 1, and then it was Paolo, yeah. And Reed is number 3, was number 3 last year. So they literally have the number 2 and number 3 picks in the last, you know, 2 of the last 3 drafts on this team. Right, so I mean, that's the upshot. If you're the Houston,
do they
Rockets.
Have enough bodies to throw at OKC?
Yeah, probably not. And honestly, like, Sengun is just not a rim protector. Right, that is, they're missing that. They're just missing that. Like, I feel
what about Steven? Can't do that enough, huh?
Oh, I guess
at
you got
point
Steven.
In his career, is he that at this point in his career that he's the one that's on the roster to be that?
You can talk yourself into it. I'm not saying he would be, but you could say we have him. He could do it. He's, you know, a big body. He's physical. He can do it. Yeah, I guess that's true. So are you? You're not starting him. You're not starting Steven Adams. Any chance you'd start?
You could
if
you
want
to start him, but that clogs it up too much for Sengun. Does it not?
Yeah.
What are you? You're starting him, Sengun, and KD.
No, you're probably right.
Too clogged up.
Sengun probably has to be the 5 out there. But you could play him, you know, starters minutes.
Oh, he's playing. He's playing him.
Yeah.
He played 20-something minutes. I think that's whatever he played this year.
Yeah.
Pretty much got that.
And I feel like defensively, when they were at their best, it was that two big lineup. It was when Sengun was out there with Steven Adams, which makes sense. I mean, that's what he does. Like, he brings physical defense. But I love it for Houston. If you come away, from this thinking that they gave up too much or that this is a bad deal for them, I don't understand your view of the NBA. It's like, what? They're literally like cashing in some chips, not even big chips, bro. Like middling chips.
Well, they got other picks apparently they didn't have to come off of,
right?
Including one of Phoenix's, I think.
Yeah,
they didn't give back. Some people like that. I thought I heard 7 of their top 10 assets they kept.
Yeah,
nobody likes this much.
This is easy
unless you're just a Jalen Green.
That's right.
Fan, unless you love him.
And then you know, KD only has 1 year left. So if it goes disastrously, like you're done.
Was not the plan to is he not getting an extension at some point?
Is I mean, I assume he probably is. Yeah, you're probably right.
Him and Rich.
You're right. He wouldn't go through that year without an extension.
Right.
So, whatever. But like, there are worse contracts in the NBA than extending Kevin Durant, you know?
You still love at 37.
I do. I think he brings, you know, I mean.
I would say don't play him too much in regular season would be my warning.
That's right.
Because you need him at go time. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Kevin Durant, like, I mean, you're getting a what, 8-time All-NBA guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. Can he still do it? And how much longer does it go? 37. He's going to be 37 September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you know, with that body.
It's been a minute since he's been on a winner.
He missed 20 games this year? Something like that, I thought I heard. They were like 3-17 without him. But, of course, they what they had around him was trash.
Yeah.
This team could probably win some games. You load manage him in the regular season.
For sure.
And you get him now. I'm with you. Come playoff time.
Yep.
What an upgrade he is from Jalen Green. Come on. What are we talking about? Instant. Got a bucket.
You got a finisher.
It's a bucket.
This is your finisher, man. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
And Fleet don't have to take it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, if you want the Grizzlies to do this, right? You want the Grizzlies to go do something like, all right, we address this issue. Like, you know? But.
I think we thought our all in was Marcus Smart for a minute.
There's no doubt.
We kind of fooled ourselves in the
like
climbing.
Money ball all that in.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. And it was a disaster in every facet. And it kind of feels like that's what they're doing again. It's like they're just kind of, you know, playing small ball, you know, trying to hit singles.
You think so? Even getting all these picks and everything else, now we got some stuff to work with. I'm hopeful that we can take a swing now.
Incomplete.
Can make it happen. Yeah, incomplete for now.
Let's see. I'm a little nervous, though.
I got my hands together. I'm hopeful.
I'm a little nervous that this is what it's going to be, though. But we'll see. We can't say that today. We can't say that definitively today. But anyway, the Houston Rockets have acquired Kevin Durant, and that one just seems obvious. The Suns are in teardown mode. I mean, I'm not even sure why they would want to keep Devin Booker at this point. Like, why? I mean, I would just, like, now is the time. Now is the time to just, to me, tear it down. Like, you know, let Jalen Green go out there and average 30 a game and
finish paying up Beal, right? Whatever's left on that deal, you have to get it done.
Exactly.
Get it off the books. No one will take it from you.
Exactly.
So you get through this mess.
How old is Devin Booker?
How many more years on Beal? That's the question. Is it 2? Feels like it's 2.
I mean, yeah, dude, Devin Booker's 28, man. Like, it's kind of the time.
He's super. He should want out. We discussed that last week.
Yeah, so Bradley Beal signed a 5-year contract, and he's got a player op. He's got 2 years left, bro.
So I thought it was 2.
Yeah, so.
They got to get through it. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be down.
Because he's opting into that $57 million in 26-27. My God.
I already know he is because nobody signed him to more than a 1-year deal anywhere.
Bro, what a terrible contract.
Yeah, 2 more years they got to survive. See? So that pick, great pick.
Yes.
You're going to have great pick.
And again, like I will say this for Zach Kleiman, never had a foible like this. Bringing in Bradley Beal as like some third piece.
With a no trade.
With a no trade clause, making 50 M's.
Sitting there eating all your money and said, I'm fine. Leave me here in the desert.
No doubt.
I won't go anywhere.
Y'all can say whatever you want about me. I am making $50 million.
He does not care.
Y'all can dog me on the Instagram page.
Go right ahead. Say I messed up this whole thing. I don't care.
$50 million, bro. $53 million this year. And then $57 million when he opts into his player option in 26-27. I mean, it's just quite frankly unbelievable.
The Beal, Durant, Booker error, not error.
Exactly. But, you know, anything that Bradley Beal is a part of is going to be an error based on the money that he makes.
You know, again,
he's past probably Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of Eddie Johnson stealing.
No doubt.
Stealing from the league chapter.
Bro, Chandler Parsons got a $94 million contract. Okay? Okay, that like over whatever it was, 4 years, 5 years, I don't remember. Dude, it's going to take Bradley Beal a year and a half to make that.
That's what I'm saying. That boy done stole a whole career off y'all.
Several
contracts.
$318 million this man has made in his career or will have made in his career. I mean, and then so, I don't know. Some people are just blessed. Some of us have to work for a living. Some of us are Bradley Beal. You know? I don't know what he's done in a past life.
He's clearly living righteously off the court, man. He has to be.
No doubt about it, bro. Like, I mean, can you imagine? I don't care. Like, you can tweet about me. You can say I'm sorry. You can say I'm this,
oh, yeah,
I'm that.
Shut it off.
I don't care.
Well, like, you just shut it out.
You could call me a terrorist.
With dollars.
You can say I'm like Al Qaeda, $318 million. You know? I'm cool. So, anyway, interesting stuff in the NBA. And then, want to get to this mock draft?
Yes, I'm excited to know why you're excited about Coward.
Well, the last name is a little tragic, isn't it?
Cowherd? Coward.
Cedric Coward.
Coward.
We could do the alternative.
I just didn't want to. Yeah, it's Coward.
It's definitely Coward.
Okay.
It's unfortunately Coward. But yeah, there is a brand new mock draft today up at ESPN.com. And last time it was Jace Richardson,
right?
Who
too small for you.
He's a 6 foot friggin' two guard, bro. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, if you guys want to lose 60 games, he'd be a great pick.
I think too small for many of us.
But today that has changed. That draft has changed. And it's gone to Cedric Coward, who spent last year at Washington State and was headed to Duke and had committed to Duke in the portal, but had a great combine and is going to pursue his NBA draft dreams. I mean, this guy is he's like catnip for the nerds, right? 6'5 without shoes, 7'2 wingspan, you know, standing reach of 8'10, really smart kid. You hear him talk, you're like, man, this guy could be a politician. You know, like he's very astute. When you notice, I didn't say well spoken. I learned that. I learned that from GP.
Well done.
Astute, but very astute and and sharp. And he brings theoretically 3 and D because he's a career 38% 3-point shooter. He's got the length, right? He's got the ranginess. So, you know, I don't know that he'll be there.
I'm with
at 16.
You. I'm that it's better than it's an upgrade from. Jace,
like the opposite.
I think his name is.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of him.
I'm just not interested in putting a rookie in that spot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hear you.
And that was a good sell. It was a good pitch on the kid.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
What do you bring to the table?
Yeah,
what
were you gonna, I feel you, though.
You know, are you going to have 2 second-year guys in Wells and Edie and this rookie contributing to a playoff rotation next year? That goes to be, I know OKC's pulling off young stuff, but is that us next year? Or does John Morant need more veterans around here?
No doubt. I mean, I think that's the whole
that's
thing.
Like, can we get PJ in here and – veteran up a little bit, or
exactly.
how many more of these young guys are we going to depend on?
Exactly.
That's the question. Remember, you still got Vince and Gigi. According to this, if we haven't moved them out of here,
yep.
Those young guys that you're still very dependent on. So that's a young team with a lot of still unprovens that don't compare to what OKC's got.
Those, no, that's
guys,
facts.
Those young guys got it done.
No, because there's a timeline issue here, right? If the Grizzlies were just like assembling, picks and pieces, and they were just starting over, like, make all these picks in the world, and just throw it at the wall and see what sticks. But, like, are they trying to be this competitive top four seed in the West, make a run? Are they trying to be that? It feels
like
they are.
It's wide open. I mean, seven teams in 7 years, the last seven.
Right.
It's been seven different champions.
100%.
It's wide open. This OKC team, yeah, they look good, but they're young.
And you just don't get there by OKC is the first team that's ever done that.
You see what Houston's doing, to your point.
They're getting older.
They're deciding to go.
Yes.
Let's
they traded away their young guys.
Let's do it now, especially with this great deal we're getting from Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan's not young, but Jalen Green's what, 24 probably? He's 24, 23. So that's what they're doing. They're saying we can't win with young players.
That's the same about Jalen. He's still super young.
He is young. No, I get it. I mean, like, if you're Phoenix, take a shot at it,
and
you know?
And this, for the first time, he's in a lot of criticism how he responds to this year and the way he – came up short. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not the type. John's going to put in the work he needs to.
But
my kid's high on him. I used to be high on him. This was a bad playoffs. I'm where you're at. I'm not buying into it.
I didn't like it. But, you know, it was his only – was it his first? It was his first, right?
First, yes.
So,
first.
I mean, I'm open to him still being a good player. Mm-hmm. But I also understand –
he's inefficient during the season. Many right. already had a right. problem with him.
Right.
One is your guy, Sedano, isn't a big buyer into Jalen Green.
Got it.
George Sedano that watches him quite a bit out there.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's not going to develop on Houston's time. Like, he's not. He wasn't going to be there. So
they paid him and they traded him.
But I mean, overall, I'm with you. Like, I don't want Cedric Howard could be in 5 years, he could be a freaking all star. I don't know. It's just like that's not like the Grizzlies need a guy that doesn't need to marinate. They need guys that are ready made, take them out the microwave and contribute today.
Could not agree more. We've said there's a way to address really the three and a big here, particularly with your Cole Anthony piece and this pick. We've said it.
Exactly.
It's a way to go out and get a guy like PJ Washington who's made a run to the finals. What are we talking about here? Would fit perfectly at three. Everybody we've talked to likes that fit.
Could play a little bit of four.
Yes, he's a combo forward that can play some four for you.
Which
and will rebound.
Help you,
and
you
rebound.
Know, with Edie's absence.
And play physically.
Yep.
The kind of style you want to play and get back to that you was gone last year. And so, again, that for me, use that asset to get something that's veteran and more proven in there. You can't afford to keep missing. Just because, the Marcus Smart thing didn't work. We've said it, man. You can't keep banking on development, dude.
That's right.
Because in the end, you're just, you're waiting on more of them to come down the pike. And, whether it's Edie – Jalen Wells, Jalen getting hurt at the end of the season, God bless him. But then you're going to add another rookie to that. That's a lot of youth you're still depending on, especially if G.G. Jackson and Vince are still in the fold.
Yep.
That's asking a lot of your now two veteran guys, right, Ja and Jaren, in terms of that main core of guys. Putting a lot on those veterans. Is that enough, is that enough experience around them? I don't think so.
Yeah. No, it's –
you got the picks.
Exactly. So I'm assuming that the Grizz are on the phone, trying
it's
to, you know.
Possibility.
It also, I guess it's going to depend on their board, too. Like, I will say Sorber from Georgetown, the back of the center, he was awesome. But he is super young. And, again, it's like you're going to run into these same issues. Like, can he really be a backup big man in 2025? I don't think so. Like, I think he needs to go somewhere and sit on the bench and develop for a couple of years. And then he'll be ready. Like, it's like there's a timeline. It's not Major League Baseball. Where you got to go toil in the minors for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, but there are steps to it.
Yeah,
there are just like I want to say like Naz Reid in Minnesota. I'm just picking him out of the lineup here. It feels like he took 3, 4 years before he was contributing. You know, like it's just it doesn't happen automatically. You know, unless you're a top, 5, 6, 7 pick with some some exceptions, not always, but I just don't know if the Grizzlies have the patience again. So. We'll see where it all lands, but hopefully there's a deal to be made here for the Grizzlies, and they can, use that salary with Cole Anthony in that slot more, specifically $20.6 million. Go get somebody, bro. They're out here. There are teams that are ready to dump. You just got to go find them. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. We got a little bit of insight on Memphis basketball's NIL situation. We've been wondering about that. Ed Scott spoke on Friday. About Simmons Bank and the updates there. Memphis basketball is NIL, so we'll get into all that and when we get back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.